May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We may be familiar with the phrase, we become what we eat. Health experts warn us that what we eat has a big impact on the person we become and can affect both our physical and mental health. If we eat plenty of fruit and vegetables and fish, we are more likely to be physically fit and mentally alert than if our diet consists only of Coke and cream cakes. What we eat affects us in all kinds of ways. But we are also affected spiritually by what we feed our minds and our spirits on. By what we look at, what we read, what we spend our time thinking about. So perhaps it's worth pondering from time to time whether we feed ourselves spiritually with what is good and healthy and life-giving. Jesus takes up this theme in our gospel reading this morning when he tells the disciples, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Feeding on him can have a transformative effect on us and lead us to new life now and for eternity. We become what we eat. But perhaps we need to recapture just how shocking Jesus' words are. He's not just saying, I've got some life-giving teaching for you, some timeless truths which will nourish you and help you to lead a fruitful life. He is making claims about himself. I am the bread of life. His listeners clearly think this is absurd. We know you. We know your parents, your brothers and your sisters, your background. You're the son of the carpenter. How can you say that you are the bread of life come down from heaven? But Jesus is insistent. I am the living bread. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus actually talks in the next few verses about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Very shocking words when we think about it. Why use such graphic terms? Well, one of the things that using such terms does is remind us that Jesus was a real person of flesh and blood. Our faith is not based on some vague spiritual philosophies or principles, but on a living person, on Jesus, the Word made flesh. Flesh, of course, which is broken for us on the cross. We receive life through Jesus' death, and it's through his broken body that we are fed and nourished and enter into eternal life. He himself is the bread of life for us. As it says in one of our Eucharistic prayers, echoing the words from our reading today, he is the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. We may be reminded by Jesus' words of the Last Supper. There's no account of the Last Supper in John's Gospel, like in the other Gospels, but most scholars think this chapter of John is the equivalent. Certainly the early Christians would have understood these words in terms of the Last Supper and communion. Jesus, at his Last Supper with his friends before his death, shares out the bread and the wine, telling them, this is my body and this is my blood, and do this in remembrance of me. And this is still what Christians do in communion services all around the world, and the Eucharist is central to our worship here at St. Ursula's Sunday by Sunday. It's possible to believe in Jesus without receiving the bread and the wine, and some Christian groups do not celebrate communion. Nevertheless, Jesus did tell his disciples to do this in remembrance of me. So there is something important for us about eating the bread and drinking the wine. We are physical beings. And doing something physical, taking something into our hands to eat and drink, can touch us in a deeper way than simply using our minds to think about our faith. We are more than minds and spirits. We are all flesh and blood, just as Jesus was. So there is something fitting about using physical symbols being so central to our faith. I wonder what communion, the Eucharist, means to you in your Christian life. If we were to share our experiences, our thoughts and our feelings, I expect we'd have a variety of answers given. Certainly for me, it was the importance of the Eucharist which led me to join the Anglican Church. I was brought up in the Methodist Church, and in those days, most of the services were services of the Word, and we had communion very, very rarely, and when we had it, it was like tagged on to the end of a service as if it wasn't really very important. It's interesting, of course, that many things have changed since then, and nowadays communion is much more important in most Methodist churches. For myself, it wasn't until I went away to university that I really appreciated the significance of communion. I went along weekly to the university chapel where we had an Anglican communion service. And for me, it was like a revelation because the service combined teaching, worship, and prayer with the sharing of the bread and wine. And in the service, I experienced a new sense of intimacy with God and a new sense of intimacy with his people as we were drawn together round the table. The service was more than words, and I felt that more than my mind was engaged. The whole of me was involved as I walked up to receive communion, body, mind, and spirit, and I felt nourished in a new way. But I also had a deeper sense of being part of the body of Christ, because communion isn't just about me and God, it's about being drawn together as his people. Christ is our peace, and he reconciles us to God and one another. We are the body of Christ. Now, what exactly we believe about communion, again, may vary. And Christians have disagreed about it over the centuries, so I don't think I'm going to sort it out this morning. Are we eating bread and wine simply to remember what happened at the Last Supper and Jesus' death over 2,000 years ago? Or is Jesus actually feeding us with his body and blood in some very mysterious way afresh today as we receive the bread and the wine? Or is the bread and the wine giving us a foretaste of the future heavenly banquet? Well, the Eucharist, in fact, in a rich way, combines past, present, and future. If you listen carefully to the Eucharistic prayers, you'll notice that past, present, and future, all those purposes of God are interwoven together. We look back to the Last Supper, to Jesus' death on the cross for us. We look ahead to the joyful heavenly banquet in the future when all things are brought together in Christ, and we are fed afresh and in the present as we receive the bread and the wine Sunday by Sunday. When we take the bread and wine into us, we are feeding on Jesus' very life. We take his life into us so that we can become more like him. In his confession, St. Augustine writes of Christ addressing him with these words, "I am the food of the fully grown. Grow and you will feed on me. And you will not change me into you like the food your flesh eats, but you will be changed into me." We become what we eat. Communion is one of the ways in which we are nourished in our Christian lives to grow healthy and strong, to be more like Christ. Of course, communion is not the only way we feed on Christ. He also nourishes us through prayer and worship, through fellowship with others, and through the Bible. It's interesting that some traditions of reading the Bible, for example, what we call Lectio Divina, divine reading, use the image of eating These traditions encourage us to read a short passage of scripture very slowly, to ponder the words, to chew over them, so they become part of us and move from the mind to the heart. This meditative reading of scripture is a kind of feeding on Christ too. And several of us meet online week by week to meditate on a scripture passage in this way, and it's certainly a source of nourishment. We do this as a group, and after we've pondered and chewed over a passage, we share our thoughts together at the end, which can be very encouraging. You are very welcome to come and join us, our Lectio group, on Wednesday morning as we meet online and see what it's like. But we can also use this method of meditating on the Bible on our own, in our own personal discipline. You might want to try it for yourself, to read a short passage of scripture slowly, several times, chew over any particular word or phrase which especially strikes you, and allowing those words to sink deeply into your mind and heart. Perhaps this week, try using a verse from our gospel reading this morning. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Take these words into you, chew over them, and let them move you on to prayer and time with God. I mean, you may be surprised later in the day that these words come welling up in you when you're not thinking about them, because they've become a part of you. As we read in today's psalm, "Taste and see that the Lord is gracious." What are we feeding ourselves with? What do we spend our time thinking about or chewing over, looking at or reading? What do we feed our emotions and our bodies with? Do these things build us up or make us unhealthy? Perhaps there are some things that we feed our minds and our hearts with which are not really doing us any good. We can feed ourselves with lots of stuff we don't need. We can feed ourselves with negative thoughts and emotions, envy, bitterness, resentment, anger. Sometimes we can feed ourselves on images and forms of communication, consumer goods, patterns of thoughts, which all become a kind of unhealthy addiction. What kind of people does this kind of food turn us into? We become what we eat. So let us ponder today where we get our nourishment from, what kind of nourishment it is, and whether we give enough time and thought to our spiritual nourishment. If we are spiritually well-nourished and healthy, we will, of course, have more to give to others. So may we daily feed on Christ, the Word made flesh, through both Word and sacrament, so that we slowly become like Him. We become what we eat. Amen.